It's good to be together with you, even though I'm not there physically, I'm there spiritually. And I would look forward to meeting you someday. If not, we'll meet in the air. I am very blessed to share this scripture, these scriptures with you. They've blessed me a lot. It's the second epistle. If you don't know what the word epistle means, it's an old English word for letter of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians. So these are letters specially written to you who are born again. And God wants you personally to know what he has done for you through his son, Jesus Christ. Okay, we will begin. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God. You are the church of God, which is, I will say, San Diego, Arizona, and wherever you are, with all the saints which are in California, Arizona, wherever. And by the way, I'm going to put this in the first person singular, and I think it will have more impact, more meaning to you personally, okay? So follow along. Verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Right away, God starts out with letting you know that he's merciful. He withholds divine judgment from you. And the God of all comfort, he's a God that comforts you at all times. 4, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Now, we know that there is tribulation in our life. There's no getting around it. So God comforts us when we have a trial, something difficult, something unexpected. He is already there to comfort you. And that's to put his arm around you, to talk to you. Tender words, encouraging words, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So this comfort that God extends to us, when you feel that comfort and that encouragement, it builds you up. And when you see someone else is having tribulation or some kind of problem, you can comfort them with the same comfort by directing them to God and praying with them. 5, for as the sufferings, and that is the word endurances, Jesus Christ endured. For the endurances of Christ abound in us. See, we also suffered with Jesus Christ. We endured with him. So our consolation also abounds by Christ. All these words are positive, building up words, consolation, comfort. Verse 6, and whether we be afflicted, there it is again, some problem, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring, there you go, of the same sufferings which we also suffer or endure, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. God is telling you how much he loves you and what he is doing for you when you have trials, which we all have. 7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye born-again ones are partakers of the sufferings, the endurances, so shall ye born-again ones be also of the consolation. Reassurance again. 8, For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, see, even leadership or even people who have been in the Word a long time have trouble, which came to us in Asia or wherever you are, that we were pressed out of measure above strength in so much that we despaired even of life. Verse 9. Oh my gosh, my voice. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which or who raises the dead. He not only raised his son from the dead, but as you may know, he raised Paul. He was stoned to death, and the believers gathered around him and prayed for him, and God raised him from the dead. And there was also a young man that was sitting in the third loft of a building listening to Paul. This was another account in the book of Acts. And he fell asleep and fell to the ground and died. And Paul went to him, ministered to him, and raised him from the dead. So God is the one that we pray to. God is our life giver. God is our comfort and our consolation. Verse 10, God who delivers us, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver us, whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. See, no matter what comes up, God's there to deliver you, to give you comfort and consolation so that you are not focused on the negative aspect, on the trouble, on the financial problem, whatever it is, but he's there to comfort you. Verse 11, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. When we pray for each other, we thank God for each other. Verse 12. For our rejoicing, and that is a word that means boasting, is this. Can you imagine boasting in problems and tribulation? The testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, not with five senses knowledge and understanding, but by the grace, which means divine unmerited favor of God, it says, we have had our conversation or our lifestyle in the world and more abundantly to you word. We live in the world, so we get a lot of information from the world that's not accurate. God's word is accurate and keeps you straight. Verse 13, for we write none other things unto you than what you read or acknowledge. This word acknowledge, I looked it up, it's the Greek word epignosis, and it means to have full knowledge. Now I looked throughout the New Testament, and that was the only place it was used. I looked up the word knowledge in the concordance in the Old Testament, and there was none. It was just plain knowledge. There was no full knowledge. But yet in the New Testament, in these letters that have been written to us, we have the full knowledge. Do you have any thought of what that full knowledge might be? That full knowledge is Jesus Christ. We have Jesus Christ, our older brother, who gave himself up as a sacrifice to God. He didn't want to do it, of course, and he went to God about it. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So he didn't completely reject. He just wanted to be comforted by God. And God obviously comforted him, because it says in Hebrews that for the joy that was set before him, Jesus Christ, he endured the cross. So he had God's comfort and consolation. You see, God is always on your side, no matter what. And he asked his son to do it. He didn't force him. He didn't make him. But Jesus Christ knew that that's what he needed to do, and he did it. So imagine that great comfort that he had. All right, verse 12. For we write none other things unto you than what you read or acknowledge of Jesus Christ, the truth of Jesus Christ. And I trust you shall acknowledge even to the end, that you will always acknowledge what God accomplished for you personally through his son, Jesus Christ, that you have Jesus Christ's victory. You can read that in 1 Corinthians 15, 57, and 58. 14, as also you have acknowledged with the full knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for you, us in part, that we are your rejoicing. See, it's talking about staying in the rejoicing category, not scared, not worried, not doubtful, but knowing that God loves you and that he's made a way for you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoicing, even as ye, born again ones also, are ours, our rejoicing in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was a book that she gave me. Where is it? It was written by Walter Cummins, and it was a journal of the Book of Acts and the epistles. And she referenced this knowledge regarding the Lord, the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when he comes to gather us together. So there's another, those are other words of comfort for you to be thinking about in your trials and tribulation, and not focusing on the terrible thing that's going on. You're looking for what God can do. He only does good, you know. 15, and in this confidence, I was minded to come unto you before, that you might have a second benefit, and to pass by you unto Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. Okay, he visited them twice so that they would have a benefit. He didn't come to scold them. I mean, these are letters of correction, Corinthians and so forth, because Romans is the complete doctrine of what God accomplished for us through Christ. And then they didn't practice that. They fell back on what they knew before. They hadn't renewed their minds. So these are letters of correction to bring you from the fault and the error to the correct doctrine of God, and where you are in this administration right now, and where you stay. All right, 17. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Did I tell you, well, you know, God loves you, but you better be careful because God might punish you? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh to justify senses? That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? Now, yea, yea, and nay, nay are Old English for yes, yes, and no, no. In other words, how it began was, did I use lightness? Did I tell you, well, you know, you have to walk the straight and narrow, and or else, you know, something bad will happen to you. All right. But, if you don't mind, I will use the more positive word of for yay, yay being yes, or positive, positive, and negative, or, and negative, negative. Okay. 18, but if God is true, our word toward you was not yea, yes, or positive, and nay. We didn't tell you, you know, there's the good stuff, but there's also bad stuff coming from God. 19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea, yes, or positive, and nay, no, negative. But in him, Jesus Christ is the contents, was yea, yes, was positive. That is a beautiful promise, okay? 20, for all the promises of God in him, Jesus Christ, are yea, positive, and in him, Jesus Christ, amen, of a truth and of a surety, unto the glory of God by us. So in other words, God is saying that all of his promises to you are positive and of a surety and steadfast. He's not making any negative promises. When you see something negative in the word, I mean, that's what happened to me when I started, very first started reading the Bible. I thought I'd start in the beginning, but it was just so full of what appeared to be God saying that he would punish me if I did something. I said, well, that's going to happen to me, and it scared me, so I went to the New Testament and read that. So when we stay with the positive and the and the promise of surety, it glorifies God by us because we are claiming his promises that are all good. God does not make a negative promise to you. He doesn't threaten you. He only warns you. A warning is much different than a promise. Okay? 21, now he which establishes us with you in Christ and has, H-A-T-H is has H-A-S, that means it's already been done, has anointed us is God. And that word anointing is, I looked it up in the dictionary, it's like when they would put oil on somebody's forehead in a church or a religious ceremony or something to indicate that he had been placed in a higher realm. And that's what God has done for us. He's anointed us. It's God who's done the anointing, and it's spiritual. You are spiritually anointed to a higher position, okay? 22, God, who has already also sealed us. Now, can you break God's seal if he sealed you? No, because it's done. It's finished. I think you can talk about the negatives too much or think you have the negatives. when in fact God says you've been healed, you've been delivered, he's comforting you when there's trouble you're coming your way, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. 23. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you, I came not as yet unto San Diego, Tucson, Arizona, Vermont, wherever. 24. Not for that we or I have dominion, and that would be the, not for that I would have rule or control over your faith, but am a helper of your joy. For by faith ye stand. Now, I have a Strong's Concordance. There's two books, and it's on the New Testament. And I looked up these two words, faith, in the book. And the first faith is faith. There are some words that were, when they were translated from British to English, sometimes there was the word the there, and they would put it in, and sometimes they wouldn't put in the word the before the word faith. In this case, the first one is correct. There is no the. But in the second case, I'll read it. Not for that we have dominion or rule or control over your faith or your believing. I'm not trying to control your believing. I'm reading this letter to you that was written to you from God. But am a helper of your joy, for by the faith, and whose faith would that be? Jesus Christ, ye stand. And that's what God wants us to walk in with joy. The second fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 and 23. The first one is love, which I think is the most important. The second one is joy. Joy is an important part of our walk with God. No matter what is going on, no matter how critical, how negative, how bad it may appear, it's a threat from the adversary to try to get you to start talking about this negative situation and how terrible it is and why is this happening to me, instead of, you know, the scripture that says, resist the devil and he will flee from you, instead of saying, no, that's not from God. God has delivered me from that. We just read all of that. He's delivered me from the mistakes that I've made. I confess them to God, and God is faithful and just to forgive me my sins, your sins, and in addition, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So that's what we do. We stand and we recognize who our enemy is, and we resist those words of condemnation, of doubt, of worry or fear, because the adversary just wants to get us frazzled and fearful so that we get kind of confused. There's no confusion with God. God is the author of peace. So claim all the promises that God has given you, and consider what he has said that he has done for you, that it's truthful, that you can stand on it and stand in your deliverance, and that will glorify God. Thank you very much.